Are you listening?
It's Anything and Everything with Mel.
Damn.
Hey everyone, how's it going? This is Anything and Everything with Matt. Today I'm here with my buddy Brandon Egebrett. How you doing, man?
Doing pretty good.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, I'm happy to be on your podcast. It is really cool.
Thanks,
thing
man.
That you're doing.
Thanks, appreciate that.
Yeah, I've been listening to all the ones you put out.
Thanks.
Yeah.
How you like them?
I like them.
Yeah?
I wish I'm on here for all of them. I have something to say.
Oh, you'll be on here more often, that's for sure.
Yeah.
We just started like hanging out again. It's been a while. We haven't like really... Last time we hung out and stuff and used to chill was, like, I think freshman year.
Yeah, back in high school.
We go way back to, like, fifth grade, though.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Patelis.
Yeah.
Bowling.
Man.
I remember those days.
I was yeah, right around high school, I started getting really in with the swimmers.
Yeah, that's when you were swimming in freshman year still, right?
That was my freshman year of high school. I was still...
Testing the waters?
Yeah.
Literally?
Yeah. And then, Yeah, just kind of, the swimmers were like cults. We all hung out with each other because we were with each other
all
the time. Yeah,
those swimmers were like packs. Like, they were all friends.
Yeah,
You guys spent so much time together, you know, and travel a lot, right?
Yeah, there's so many people that were in relationships on the team. Like, everyone's dating everyone. It's kind of weird looking back on it.
Well, a lot of drama, I bet.
Yeah, that's stupid.
Yeah.
It was real stupid.
So, I think we stopped talking maybe around, like, junior year. I heard you got sick.
Yeah, junior year, I really fell off.
Yeah, what happened to that? You, like, got pulled out of school, and that's the last thing I really heard from you.
Yeah, I got pretty sick. I didn't finish my junior year of school. I finished it online. And then senior year of school, I started a few months late.
Wow, so you came back senior year?
Yeah.
Wow. What were you sick with? What happened? Tell me the story.
Yeah, let me start from square one.
Okay.
All right, well, like I said, I was a swimmer.
You get ringworm?
Yeah, I did once.
Oh,
actually,
that's
gross. Yeah, I didn't. I wore turtlenecks, but no. So this is how it all started. I had these little dots on my leg, and I was sleeping all the time. Those were like the two big things that were going on. Like, I didn't think anything of them. These dots on my leg, like, me and my buddy were like, play connect the dots and like try to make figures out of it. Like, I think we made like dinosaurs and giraffes and like stupid shit. And then I was sleeping all the time, but I was a swimmer, so I didn't think much of it. Until like my mom started getting worried. I was sleeping too much, dude. Like, probably like 14, 16 hours a day.
Holy crap.
Yeah, we had long schedules as swimmers. At the pool at 4:30 in the morning, didn't get home till like 5:30, 6:30 at night. You had morning practice, all-day school, night practice.
And pool, like, swimming wears you out.
Dude. Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
It is. It's definitely, it burns, like, the highest amount of calories.
Really?
Not the highest, but it's up there on, like, way more than your typical workout.
Because you're just flapping all your limbs at once.
It's just really dynamic. You're using every muscle in your body when you're swimming.
Yeah.
So I was tired. But like I said, as soon as I'd get home, I would sleep. I would sleep throughout school. I remember my coach was my teacher junior year, and man, I was such an asshole. Or is it? No, it wasn't junior year. It was sophomore year I got diagnosed. Yeah, my bad. Junior year I came back, and then senior year I got kicked off the team. So sophomore year I was diagnosed. So that's when we started noticing all these symptoms, and my coach was my teacher sophomore year, and I was always falling asleep in his class, dude, and I was like...
He was your teacher?
Yeah, I was like the worst. I was like the worst student.
That would suck.
Yeah. He'd be like, why are you late? And I was like, my boss was late, Mr. Smolensky. He was like, you were here for morning practice. I couldn't even lie to him. Yeah.
Wow.
But I was sleeping all the time. My mom started getting worried. So she was like, let's go to the doctor. Like, maybe there's something going on. So we went to the doctor. And the doctor was like, well, first of all,
you got zits.
He said...
Classic case of zits. Leg zits.
We were sitting there, and I remember it was like a 3-hour wait. We were like one of the first appointments or something like that. But we were waiting for such a long time, dude. And like, usually, he's been my like family doctor forever.
That's every doctor, dude.
Yeah, but he wasn't like that. He was usually pretty good.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know, he was... He must have been off his game today. Because he came in late. That was his first appointment. He brought me in. He said, it's allergies. Quit taking Benadryl. Take, like, Flonase. He, like, prescribed me a nasal spray and told me to get Claritin.
Damn. And he was in a rush.
Sent me home. Yeah, he was like, it's allergies.
That, wow.
Like, yeah.
So you just, that's
so, what... So, me and my mom went home. But shoot, yeah, so when I got diagnosed, it was in April. I got diagnosed on April 18th. So, let's say I'll start the... This is, like, right around then. On April 16th is my mom's birthday. That's the day I just talked about. The day I went to the doctor and he said, nasal spray and go home.
Mm-hmm.
That was the 16th. That's my mom's birthday. My sister's birthday is the 18th. So, I always took him out to eat... on the 17th, the day before, like, any time I ever had a job, like, I got my first job when I was, like, 13.
Mm-hmm.
I always made sure I had money to take him out on a lunch date.
That's cool.
So, on the 17th, after my mom was like, you want this nasal spray? I was like, I ain't using no fucking nasal spray. Nothing's going up my nose. That's
you don't like nasal spray?
No, dude, I've never used it.
Really?
I just can't imagine ever using it. No.
You're a swimmer. You never got water up your nose.
I hated it so much. Like choking on it and shit.
Wow.
But I was like, I ain't taking that nasal spray. So we went home. Like I said, I went home. I fucking just slept until the next day. I told him, let's go and get lunch. We went to lunch. I fell asleep at the lunch table. Like,
what?
We were at B-Dubs. Lady took our order. And before the appetizer came out, I was out. On the table. Just
what the hell?
And REM, dude. Yeah, I just passed. I didn't pass out, but I don't know, dude. I was so tired that I couldn't stand staying awake. I just wanted to sleep.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And my mom was getting pissed. She was like, you're always sleeping. Like, this, we need to see a doctor. And I refused, dude. I was like, no, don't take me to the doctor, Mom. I'm a swimmer. We're supposed to be tired, you know? But then she, like, forced me to go to the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to... the urgent care clinic, and we finally saw a doctor, or like whoever's there, and they like felt my glands on my neck. These are your thyroid glands and all this stuff up here.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all swollen with lymph fluid.
Hmm.
So that's like an indication of infection. That's like usually like mono. Like really any infection you'll get lymphatic fluid, but with mono, that's what she thought it was. She was like, yeah, you got a real bad case of mono. I was like, yeah, I've had mono before. I know what to do. Go home and sleep.
And mono makes you tired, too.
Yeah, right? Exhausted. So it made sense,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, you literally are out for, like, weeks with mono.
Yeah.
So my mom was like, but the doctor said, go get blood work done just in case, you know? Unfortunately, we don't have a phlebotomist here, so you have to go all the way to the other side of town to the hospital and get your blood drawn. But you guys should probably go do that. And I was like, Ma, I ain't doing that. And she's like, let's just get blood work done. I was like, Ma, I'm tired. Take me home. I have mono. I'll stay home for a few days. Just let me sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And she, like, refused to. She's like, no, you're going to the doctor. We're drawing the labs. So we did. And we went home, and I had mono, so I stayed home the next day. It was a Monday.
Mm-hmm.
I stayed home the next day. My mom was at work. My dad didn't live with me. My sister's at school, like I said. So this is the 18th now. This is my sister's birthday, right? So she turned 16, I think.
Mm-hmm.
That was... No. She turned 17.
The 18th of what month?
April.
April.
Yeah. So she just turned 18 today, but she was at school. I remember I was, like, downstairs watching TV, enjoying my day off of school, you know? Like, because with mono, you're really tired,
mm-hmm.
and it hurts to swallow,
mm-hmm.
but, like... You're all right.
Yeah.
So I was watching TV, just chilling. I was like, man, I want some pizza rolls. So I went upstairs to heat up some pizza rolls. So I was like looking out the front window when the oven was heating up. And I saw my dad's truck parked 3 houses down, but across the street. I was like, what the fuck? Like I said, it's a Monday. He should be at work.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't live with us. And my mom are separated at this point. He's... living in Thornton or something like that at this point. I like left my cell phone downstairs, so I called my dad off the home phone right there in the kitchen, back when like home phones were still kind of a thing. So I called him off the home phone. I was like, hey, what are you doing? He's like, what, who is this? And I was like, Dad, it's me, it's Brandon, what are you doing? And he was just like, who is this? He's like yelling, I don't know what the fuck he was wrong. But he was like yelling, he didn't understand who it was. And I kept telling him, he's like, whatever, I'll call you back later. I have some bad news for my son.
What?
And I was like, what the fuck? I was like, Dad, this is your son. Like, what are you talking about? And he was like, oh, shit. I'll be in a minute. We got to talk. And I was like, what the fuck? So I called my mom. I was like, hey, mom, like, Dad's parked down the street. So I give him a call, and he said she's like, hello. She's, I don't know. And I just told her that, and I was like, he said he's got bad news for me. And she's like, oh, shit, I'll be home in a few minutes. We got to talk. And I'm like, fuck. It's like, I wonder what's going on, you know? Why is my mom coming home from work? Why isn't my dad at work? Why are they both telling me that they gotta talk? And I was kind of thinking, maybe my grandpa passed away.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of been sick for a few years now, so. Who knows?
Yeah.
So that kind of, like, hit me a second, but I was like, I can't just assume that.
Mm.
So I had to put those pizza rolls in the oven and went back downstairs, and I waited a few minutes till they got home. And they, like, walk in, and I stay downstairs, and they, like, come walking through the front door down the stairs. And my mom is just a wreck. Her face is red, tissues in hand, like, she's been crying for hours. My dad's sitting there, like, stone-faced. And mom's like, we have to go to Chicago. They think you have leukemia. You need Whoa. To go pack a bag.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Leukemia.
So, yeah, I didn't know what that was.
Oh my
so God. So my mom told me, we're going to Chicago. You need to go upstairs and pack a bag.
That's really different from allergies.
Yeah, you know.
Oh my God.
Different spectrum, bro.
Dude.
But she was like, you need to pack a bag. And she like gives me a hug and she's like bawling her eyes out. And I'm like, I don't know what leukemia is. What do I have? So, she had someone drive her home. Like, someone drove her car from her work, and then someone followed, mm-hmm. and then they, like, dropped her off because she was too much of a wreck to drive. Yeah. Dude, it was, like, an hour drive for her to come home, and she was a wreck because, obviously, she knew something I didn't know, which was what leukemia is.
Yeah.
But, She came home like that, and then her, like, good friend, Tina, actually came over. And I went upstairs to pack a bag, and I was like, hey, what am I packing for, like, a night? Like, a pair of shorts and underwear? And I was like, I don't know, pack a bag. And she's talking to Tina out in the garage. So I go downstairs, I'm like, because we only had a desktop, I didn't have a laptop.
Mm.
And I definitely didn't have a smartphone. So I was like, leukemia, Google search. And Google's like, nothing. There's nothing on the page. And they're like, we can't find any search results. And I was like, fuck. I don't know how to spell this. So I tried a different spelling, and they're like, ooh, maybe you mean this? And I was like, yeah, probably. So I clicked on that, and I read the first article that came up. It was just like the link. And it was like, leukemia, one of the deadliest cancers, one of the deadliest cancers, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, fuck. And I closed out of it. I was like, I don't want to know anymore. So,
Whoa.
Like, at that point, I knew I had cancer, but I didn't know what, I was a sophomore in high school.
Yeah.
Anyone that had cancer, my family passed away, and I never knew them. I didn't know anyone with cancer. You know, I didn't really know what cancer was. I just knew you were sick, and that's it.
Wow.
I knew it wasn't a very good thing.
Yeah.
I saw it said one of the deadliest cancers, and I didn't really know what cancer was. I never experienced anyone with cancer. I was a sophomore in high school. So I closed that out really quick, and real poor timing, dude. The UPS truck comes at the door. Well, I accepted a job. Like I said, it was April. I accepted a job in the summer, summer, to work at Munster Pools. I took the lifeguarding class, I was about to be a lifeguard, and I ordered a pair of nice sunglasses online. And, well, they're getting delivered right now.
Wow. Worst timing.
Yeah, so he, like, rings the doorbell, and no one comes, so then he knocks, because, like, what does he know? He sees people inside, and, like, come sign for your package. So then my dad, like, opens the door, and he's like, what? Like, my dad's just being a dick at this point, because he's like, why is this dude knocking? He's like, opens the door, he's like, what? And the guy's like, I got a package for Brandon. And my dad, like, slams the door in his face. And I was like, what the fuck was that, Dad? He's like, I don't know. He's got a package for you. And he, like, walks upstairs.
So I still need that?
Yeah, like, I don't know why. That's, like, how he was coping with it.
Okay.
He, like, came down stone-faced with my mom. And then he was, like, I felt like he was lost. Every time I saw him, he was just, like, walking somewhere else. Like,
yeah, he just couldn't.
He was separated from my mom, you know? Like, they weren't cool at this point.
Okay.
He probably wasn't cool with my mom's friend because that's my mom's friend and they just got, you know, they're getting a divorce. Mm-hmm. So he felt weird. He had no idea what to do. So he kind of just got mad at this UPS man. So I went downstairs and I like signed for the package. I got the sunglasses. I didn't know what they were at this point. I just know I had a package. I didn't get mail. So like, even if you just got the news that you have cancer, like when you get a package, you get kind of excited. So I opened up the box. My mom was like, she's still out in the garage with her friend. She's like, what was that? And I was like, I open it and I see his glasses and doesn't matter. Put it back in the box and put it on the side. Cause I'm obviously not taking that job this summer.
Wow. That's horrible.
Yeah.
Did your mom know that you were joking about it? Like, did she catch the joke?
No. She was like, what was it? I said, doesn't matter. And I just put it on the side. But in my mind, I was like, nothing I'm going to be needing.
Wow.
And then I don't remember everything. I remember not wanting my sister to find out while she was at school. Like, my mom's like, don't tell anybody right now. Like, I know you want to talk to someone, but not now. Like, let's get your sister home. So my mom texted my sister and was like, hey, don't take the bus home. I'm going to pick you up. We got to go to Chicago. So my sister sees this text message. She's like, mom's home from work. It's my birthday. Like, we're going to Chicago. She was all excited, you know? And we all go and pick her up as, like, a family because we had to go to the doctor right then and there.
Yeah.
We had to go to some clinic to get a referral, and then we were heading to Chicago. And so we went to go pick her up, and Katie's like, my sister, she's like, oh, why are we going to Chicago? Like, you can tell she's, like, excited, and we were like, mom's, Brandon has cancer, or we have to go to the hospital. We think Brandon has cancer. And there goes her mood. Birthday ruined.
Oh my god, that's the worst birthday ever.
Yeah. So, they had a room set up, prepared in the ER, waiting for us to get there. We got there, and dude, I don't handle situations like this well.
They had a room ready for you?
Yeah, in the ER. Like, they reserved a room because they knew I was coming in.
The hell were they putting you in the...
Like, so, this is what the phone call is that my mom got. She got a phone call from the hospital saying... Brandon's blood results, she's at work. Brandon's blood results came back. He has, a messed up blood count. His white blood cell count is off. We think he has cancer. He needs to come in and get further tests done.
Holy and, like, crap. Don't tell me that over the phone.
Yeah.
What kind of shit is that?
Yeah. Well, they had to be urgent.
Yeah.
Because when I got to the ER, they did more blood work.
They met you at the door with a needle.
Basically.
Are you Brandon?
They did a bone marrow biopsy and a spinal tap.
A bone marrow biopsy.
Yeah.
What in the fuck is that?
So they take this... From my understanding, dude, they take this large bore needle. They go right into your pelvis.
No.
Into the bone. So your bone marrow is the center of your bone. Why are you
pointing at your back?
Because it's the pelvis bone.
Why can't they go from like the side? They have to go from your spine?
Yeah, it's like right here.
Are you kidding me?
I got a bunch of scars. Right here is where they go in.
Oh, dude.
Yeah. It actually looks like... I got so many. If you look, it looks like stretch mark right there.
So many. Yeah. Dude, whoa.
So that's how they test like leukemic cells, like to see if your body's producing them and stuff like that, to test what kind of blood cells are getting made, I guess. I'm not too sure. Because your blood is made in your bone marrow. So they have to get bone marrow to see if that bone marrow is making bad leukemic cells.
So they had to stab you in the bone without putting you under and numbing you?
They gave you a local anesthetic.
Okay.
Still hurt.
God damn.
For a few days after. It was pretty bad. They suck.
You're making my bones hurt.
Yeah, they have to go through your bone and they have to like pull out this bone marrow.
Oh my god. Okay.
Yeah, so that kind of sucked. And then they did a spinal tap. So they go in between your vertebrae into your spinal cord and pull out spinal fluid.
I couldn't do it.
I mean, so they did this the first day. So I was diagnosed. They did it that night. Yeah, they did it that night when I was in the ER. They were, when they told me, because I woke up in an outpatient room, I think. I don't remember everything. It's not clear, because like I said, I was sleeping all the time.
Hmm.
So I was in and out throughout this whole process.
Okay.
The whole drive there, I was sleeping.
Oh.
You know, like I said, I was sleeping fucking 14, 16 hours sleeping? A day. They said that the cancer was so advanced that if I didn't come in, it was a Monday. Remember that, 18th. It was a Monday. I would have died by Friday. Me sleeping that much was due to inadequate blood supply in my body. What? So leukemia is a... So cancer in general is just the rapidly repeated growth of cells that are not correct.
Irregular cells.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So leukemia is your blood cells are being made not correct, irregularly. And your blood cells are the transportation for everything in your body. Like, that's what takes oxygen everywhere. Exactly. So my body had blood, but it wasn't useful blood. So me sleeping was me not being able to stay awake because I was so, like, I was so tired. I wasn't able to stay awake because I didn't have adequate blood supply.
So, like, there wasn't enough blood going to parts of your body, and
yeah, so I was just, I was basically shutting down.
Whoa.
It was expanding my period because I exerted myself so much with so little useful blood.
Whoa.
And they said by Friday, I probably just wouldn't have woken up.
So your body was, like, burning all the energy it could because it was, like, running on fumes.
Yeah, exactly.
Holy shit, dude.
So I at the point of diagnosis, I had 4 days to live.
Do people, like, actually drop dead from cancer? Like, from
people,
just, like...
Yeah, people die from cancer.
Just end up sleeping too much? They just think it's, like, their naps, they're just, like, really...
You usually die from, like, a complication.
Wow.
But yeah, people have died from, and they said, how did he die? And it's a complication of the leukemia.
So, like, one of the organs would stop first or some shit or shut down?
Mm-hmm. Or infection. Because white blood cells, there could be a decreased amount, and you're susceptible to infection at that point.
Wow.
A flu could kill you.
Holy shit.
Especially if you're in the treatment of leukemia.
Wow.
So I remember them telling me in the emergency room. Well, they told my mom that. That was like on the low off to the side. They didn't want me to know that. They told me that it was very serious, and they explained too much to me. I didn't understand the goddamn thing he was saying. But I was just either making jokes or not paying attention. They told me, like, I'd never have kids. They said, like, well, they didn't say tell me I would never have kids. They told me with treatment, it's a possibility that I could not have kids. That a possible side effect of treatment for leukemia is...
no kids?
Yes.
Don't you have kids?
I have 2 kids.
Wow.
Well, I have 1 and almost 2. So,
that's some strong sperm.
Yeah, so that's actually a crazy story in itself. Like, I was told I could never have kids. I was told a lot of things about these doctors that didn't pan out the way...
Your kids are healthy too?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
what stage were you? What stage cancer?
They don't stage leukemia.
No?
The way cancer is staged, 1, 2, 3, 4, is like if it's localized, if it's benign or malignant, if it's it's like basically the stages depend on the tumor growth and the spread of the tumor.
So blood cancer, you're basically screwed either way.
Because I have no tumor, I just have irregular blood. So thyroid cancer, you will literally have a mass of cells on your thyroid that is taking nutrients and everything from the thyroid, which is how thyroid cancer gets detected because these signs and symptoms, blah blah blah.
Mm-hmm.
So you like find out and the tumor's doing something to that gland, yeah, or whatever, that's fucking it up. It's not making it work regularly. I don't have a mass, I just have a massive amount of fucked up cells.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you can't really pinpoint it on a specific
tumor.
Because
it's everywhere. It's in my bloodstream.
Cut it out. Yeah.
You know, like I have a regular cell here and like 5 irregular cells.
So what do they do to start treating you? You said that they had to treat you immediately. You said you got to the hospital and like how soon were you after the shots and stuff, and they figured out it was that bad?
They told me I would have died by Friday. So when did they start? If I didn't come in. So they started that following day. So they did all that.
Oh, man. Everything's moving so fast.
Yeah.
Like last week, you were just napping like a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit.
Monday, I was diagnosed. I think it was either Tuesday or Wednesday, we started chemo.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Chemo already?
Yeah, so the only way to kill it, the way cancer is cured is through surgery, radiation, and chemotherapy.
What is radiation? Like, is... I picture radiation treatment as just like you just get stuck in like a microwave and they just like zap you.
It is, no, okay, so that basically what I'm getting to. The difference between chemotherapy and radiation is radiation is actually fucking ions that are radioactive that is very pinpoint to a tumor.
Okay.
Or towards the cancer. So if you have thyroid cancer, they can use radiation.
Blast them at your neck.
And it's a beam of radiation that attacks that area. And that is very
Vocalized. I feel like that would give you cancer.
Well,
if you miss the cancer, you're going to get cancer right next to the cancer.
Well, they like pinpoint it and everything. It's very...
Holy shit.
But they really do that on larger... Once they do it, like you said, you can't pinpoint it. You're basically using this... fucking beam to kill the cancer. That's where surgery comes into play to help cure cancer as well. The tumor is small enough, you can surgically remove it, or you can do radiation at that tumor and then pick up the remaining parts with surgery. And then there's chemo. Chemo is typically used when a tumor is metastasized, so it's spread, because chemo attacks everything. It attacks every cell in your body.
It don't care what...
Exactly.
You are.
It doesn't know if you're a cancer cell or anything. It's going to fucking kill you, you know? It destroys everything.
Jesus.
Yeah.
It's poison.
It's exactly what it is.
It kills your good cell. That's why you go bald.
Because it kills your hair follicles. The cells in your hair follicles and your hair falls out.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. That's why you have absolutely no immune system. You have people dying all the time from cancer, from like pneumonia. All your white blood cells are dead. You have no immune system.
I feel like there could be an easier way of doing that.
Well,
that seems like pretty drastic measures.
The only thing they can think of when it's...
Let's just put this poison in an IV and see if it works.
It's got to kill everything because it's everywhere.
Dude.
As of right now...
I feel like it's like the same concept of like hand sanitizer. They say using too much hand sanitizer makes your hands like bare naked to germs. So when a germ does come on your hand, like, you're fucked.
I just explained it another way.
When a germ does come on your hand, you're screwed.
That's why people are dying from pneumonia, from a cold.
Yeah.
Because
they sanitize too much and stuff. Yeah, and they're becoming weak immune systems.
They have no immune system.
Yeah. Wow.
Because that happens with hand sanitizer.
So are you very vulnerable after when you're on chemo? Are you, like, the bubble boy?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Negative pressure rooms...
Negative pressure rooms, like it's like for submarine divers?
Basically.
Wow.
So, like, you have to walk into the room, shut the door behind you.
Yeah.
And then open the door and then go in.
So, like, an oxygen?
Because it's not like an oxygen pressurized, but when you walk into the first room, you're supposed to put gloves on, mask on, a gown on, so you're not bringing any germs in with you. And then, like, that air in there kind of, I don't think it, like, fucking cleanses you. It kind of brings all, like, I don't know. It keeps germs from coming in your room. So then you walk through the second set of doors, and you can go into those set of doors. And
in your room?
Yeah.
Wow, so it is visitors, like Bubble Boy.
Yeah, basically.
Wow.
It's glass rooms, Bubble Boy.
Wow.
You couldn't visit me if you were sick at all. Like, if you had any symptoms, I said don't visit. I couldn't eat fresh fruits, fresh vegetables. I couldn't have any flowers in my room because there could be stuff on there. Like, everything. Like,
wow.
So you couldn't eat fresh vegetables because if it's cooked, it's cleaned.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with the fruit.
Yeah.
And then flowers, anything could be attached to a flower.
Like a bug. Wow.
Because that could literally kill me.
So did the chemo help?
So the chemo... Chemo's rough. Like I said, it started really quick. That first day of getting diagnosed, the first bag of chemo.
Do you feel it go into your body? Like, ugh.
Oh, you just feel...
My cells.
No, not really.
You don't?
No. It's just like getting IV fluid that you don't really feel it. So like they don't put it through regular IVs because it's very toxic to IVs or to veins. So they like to use a centrally asserted catheter.
What does that mean?
There's a scar on my arm. It's a PICC line. So it's instead of an... So the way you put in an IV is it's like a little needle with a plastic tube. And the needle goes through your skin into the vein. And then the plastic tube goes with the needle. Then the needle comes out and the plastic tube is still in. Does that make sense? And then you put the medicine through. There's no needle still in you.
So it's like a poop bag, but for an IV.
Well, the PICC line is same concept, but they put it in a bigger vein, and they put more into the vein.
Okay.
So they don't want to put it in the small veins because it's very toxic, so they wanted to put it in the bigger veins that can handle it. My first round of chemo. Do to your jugular. They could have.
Oh, God.
Actually. So the first round of chemo put me, there's this complication called cell lysis syndrome. It's a fatal complication of cancer, of chemotherapy. So when I got that chemo, the chemo did its job perfectly. It killed all the cancer cells. But when it killed all those cancer cells, toxins flooded my body. It was like my body went into shock. It's this cell lysis syndrome. And I had all these toxins in my body. And
is that just a random thing that happens?
No, it's like...
Cells will, like, what?
It's leak? A complication. Wow. So, you know, like, risk factors may include...
Oh, and then, like, the small little symptoms?
Yeah, that was me. I was that small victim. It's a little different than, like, taking a over-the-counter medicine versus, like, chemo, of course.
Yeah.
But, I had this bad complication, which ended up putting me on life support.
Holy shit. What?
So these toxins flooded my body, took out my renal system.
Your
kidneys.
Oh.
Your everything that kind of filters. So your renal system filters everything, goes to the urine and gets excreted. A lot of stuff gets excreted through there. So it makes sense that we're trying to excrete the toxins, and it completely took out my renal system. So I had complete kidney failure.
What?
So I got put on a dialysis. Dialysis is literally a machine that takes your blood out of you, cleans it for you, and puts it back in you because your organs aren't doing it for them.
Like a reverse osmosis.
Maybe.
Sorry, I'm making all these references.
Gotta
get it down to my level.
It just literally takes your blood out, puts it through a filter to clean it, and then puts it back in. Wow. Same thing that your kidneys would do, but I'm having a machine do it for me because my kidneys aren't working. They had to put a catheter in right up my groin.
Oh.
Right in the femoral artery.
Oh, God.
And
got so many arteries all plugged up right now.
So they had to put it in my femoral artery, and I had this machine working my kidneys for me. I had complete respiratory failure as well. So
you couldn't even breathe on your own?
No, I had a machine working
pumping
my lungs
your
for
lungs?
Me.
Are you kidding me?
Yes, I was mechanically vented.
From chemo? Did they give you the wrong bag?
No.
Oh my God.
Because of this, I went into a coma.
Holy shit, dude.
Yeah.
What day is this now? Coma day.
So, Monday I was diagnosed. We either started Tuesday or Wednesday. I don't remember if we started. I think we did the tests Tuesday. To like poke my back and stuff Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Confirmed the diagnosis. Started chemo Tuesday night. This happened, first bag of chemo. So this happened Tuesday night. On Wednesday, I'm in the ICU in a coma on life support for two organ systems.
Are you kidding me? That's how quick it reacted?
I was told Monday morning. Wednesday morning, I'm in a coma.
Dude, that's so scary how fast that moved and escalated.
So Tuesday night, once this set in, I was at Comer's Medical Center in University of Chicago. It's their children's hospital. It's fantastic. Fucking love this place. This happened, and they were like, shit. We need to get this kid out of here. So they call St. Jude. St. Jude's in Memphis, Tennessee. They're like known worldwide for being pediatric cancer. Like number 4 hospital in the country or something like that. They're really good. They're like, hey, we need you to take this kid. Like, he's super sick. Just got diagnosed. To tell them my whole story. They're like, yeah, we'll take him. Once my chart got faxed over and they started looking at the chart, because they were going to helicopter me over there. I was going to be in the helicopter and they were going to helivac me to Memphis, Tennessee.
Holy crap.
Because obviously driving was
just not an option.
Yeah. And turned out neither was helicopter. They said he will die on the way here. Keep him there.
Holy crap.
We're starting him on a protocol. And basically we agreed to do this. I didn't. I was in a coma. This trial protocol. In trials.
Really?
And they said, we've been doing this for a little bit, and it's your best bet.
So you were a guinea pig.
Yeah. Basically,
so they came to you then?
What?
They came to you.
Not necessarily, because the doctors are all the way in Tennessee, but they have this protocol written out, and anything that happened, the doctors at Chicago would call the doctors in Tennessee, and then they would talk. So they were treating me from Tennessee while I was in Chicago.
Wow.
So that's, yeah.
Dude, the internet, man.
Yeah.
Thank God for fucking Skype.
So at that point, I was considered dead.
There was like no...
Doctors weren't saying it, but...
At this point, you were just seeing if
I'm in a coma.
Experiment worked.
Well, not right now, they don't even know if I'm coming out of this coma. When you're on dialysis, you don't come off of dialysis. Once you get put on dialysis, you have dialysis every single week, twice a week, and until you finally die of whatever.
Hmm.
Once your kidneys go out, they don't reboot, really. It's not very common, at least.
Hmm.
My lungs aren't working. I'm mechanically vented. The only thing they can do to keep me alive is to put me in a coma. So they medicate me so much that I stay in this coma, so my body is working as little as possible to keep me alive. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. When you're sleeping,
yeah.
Versus when you're awake, you're doing way more. So at this point, it is Wednesday. They said I would have died by Friday. And now on Wednesday, they think I'm about there.
Holy crap.
Yeah. So they keep me in the coma for a few weeks. I was in the ICU. And finally stuff started working again. My kidney tests started coming back because they did.
What was the thing they were giving you then? Wait, so out of nowhere, you just started like getting better. You're saying?
Yeah. So my body started doing better. It started rejuvenating. You know, they kept me in the coma for so long, and I was coming out of it. I was doing better. My kidney started clearing up. There's like a few tests you can run for kidney functioning. Those levels started coming back. They ended up being able to take me off of dialysis. Woke up from my coma.
Whoa.
I remember still on dialysis when I was out of my coma, because I remember like the machine was horrible. They like couldn't get the machine to work. I had this nurse, her name was Gretchen. She was like the best thing that's ever happened to me. She was awesome. She would literally come in, she would schedule herself like extra, because when she was there, she was my nurse, and she was the one that was able to get the dialysis machine to work.
Really?
You know, like everyone else had problems with it. But she, every time she'd be able to do it. So she was just an amazing nurse, like, you know? Like, I remember her.
It's plugged into your freaking artery, and you're like,
yeah, in my groin.
Pressing on shit. Like,
so they ended up, actually, it stopped working. It was the catheter they put in, it stopped working. So she was the only one that'd get it to work until they'd have me to have surgery to get another catheter in on my chest.
Oh my God.
So this.
Holes everywhere.
Yeah, right?
Wow.
So they put one up here, and I remember getting dialysis through here. Dialysis is crazy, dude. It feels weird.
Why?
It's taking your blood out, and it's putting it back in. So it takes a little bit to filter it. So they have to, like,
set it. You're fully conscious when this is going?
Yeah, yeah. Whoa. I'm watching it happen. I'm talking to this fucking Russian dude that wheels his machine in my room, and he sits there for me for 4 hours.
So you feel it just sucking you like a friggin' juice box?
No, you don't feel it coming out. You feel it coming back in. Because it's getting filtered. So this is a 4-hour process. It takes a little bit. So the blood loses temperature, leaving you while it's getting...
So it's cold?
So they have to set a temperature to return the blood to you. So sometimes it's cold. Sometimes they have it... Like they're
cranked up to like coffee level.
Well, no, but you can literally feel it. It was in my chest right here. I could literally feel it going down my arm. Oh. If it was warm, if it was cold, it's the coldest feeling in the world. Your blood is literally cold. Oh, your skin isn't, but your skin eventually gets cold. You get so you're cold to the bone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's the coldest cold in the world. And then when it's warm, it just feels like, ooh, like, I don't know, it felt good.
That's crazy, yeah. Dude.
So dialysis was kind of nuts.
Did you feel the cold blood go to your dick?
Not that I remember. You know what I get a lot? I get this question a lot. Did I ever have sex while I was on cancer?
Did you?
Not on cancer, but on chemo, or did I ever have sex while I had cancer? Dude, I had no sex drive at all.
You didn't masturbate at all, either?
No.
Wow.
No.
Wow. That's crazy.
But I do work in a Pete's hospital, and we have caught kids masturbating.
Really?
It's weird. It's not a lot of times, but it happens.
You had a doc before you come in the room?
It's weird.
Wow.
But no. Shit. Yeah, I had no libido when I had cancer.
Well, especially kids, too. Like, you gotta think that's at the age where, like, all your hormones are...
Yeah, I was, like, 15.
Get fucking crazy. What kind of treatment do they have you on? This trials, this, you know, magic juice that got you better.
Yeah. There's a few different types of leukemia. I had AML, acute myeloid leukemia, and it's a very fast-growing, very aggressive cancer. So, I was on chemo for like 8 months.
Oh, wow.
That's nothing really compared to someone that has like ALL. Will be on chemo for like 2-3 years.
Wow.
But like my chemo is there's different chemicals in chemo, and mine was a very aggressive chemical.
So that's what they gave you? The people from Tennessee gave you just a better chemo that got you better?
No.
How'd they cure your psoriasis syndrome?
So they really, your body just kind of came back. That's what happened with me, you know. My body started rejuvenating. I remember when they moved my catheter. I only had this one for a while until they were able to pull it out, and I was done. My kidneys were functioning.
Wow.
Like enough to be functioning alone. And man, I remember when I started, when my kidneys started working again, because I didn't pee at all, you know. I had no pee because my kidneys were shut down. So I retained a crazy amount of fluid. I was gigantic.
Really?
I was so puffy. You could literally like put your finger on me and that indent would be there for like a minute. Wow. I was gigantic. Once my kidneys started working, they didn't filter. They just got rid of everything. I remember one night I lost like 7 pounds peeing. I was up every 30, 45 minutes, 1,000 mLs, just... filling up this urinal that they gave me to pee in.
Oh, man. Yeah. That's crazy.
I lost a crazy amount of weight just by peeing. Because...
Oh, that water had to come out.
Yeah.
Holy crap, you're like a water balloon.
Yeah, exactly.
That's crazy.
And then my lungs were working, so they extubated me. So they intubated me, which is like the mechanical vent, so they took that out. But I remember when I was in my chemo, when I was in my coma... I actually had this tube down my throat when I was coming out of the coma. Mm-hmm. I still had the tube, but like I would like wake up for a little bit and like go back to sleep. Like I was
trying not to think about
like
it.
Like very medicated.
Oh, okay.
Like when I was coming out of the coma. So I had like my iPod Touch that I could like write messages on to communicate. I couldn't talk. I had like a dry erase board or like a pen and paper. That's the only way I can communicate.
Yeah, did you see anything in your coma? Like, did you have a crazy experience? Was it pitch black?
I don't remember anything.
No?
I remember one thing. I remember waking up on Easter, and this fucking Easter bunny was hopping around the hospital. This dude in the Easter bunny costume handing out fucking Easter baskets. That's when he happened to wake up. Yeah.
Oh, God.
So I remember sitting there with my mom and my sister, and the Easter bunny fucking hopped in our room, and they said, we have an Easter basket for Brandon. And I, like, look over at my mom, and I go, you fucking kidding me? And, they're like, they hop in my fucking room with the Easter basket and ask for a picture. So they, like, put the basket on the bed. My sister gets on the other side, and they take a picture. This is literally, I flick off the camera. I'm so pissed at this Easter bunny.
Seriously?
I wake up from a coma, and there's an Easter bunny in my room. Are you fucking kidding me?
And it sounds like they just wanted for that picture. Give this sick kid a freaking basket and take a picture next to him.
That's so freaking horrible. Probably donated him or something like that.
Wow. At least you got some free shit out of it.
But like, we still have the picture. It's a Polaroid picture.
You do?
Yeah, so there's literally a picture of me, this like creepy-ass Easter bunny, flicking off the camera, and my sister next to me. But no, I don't remember anything really from the coma. I remember another time when I was like first coming out of it, I would write notes, and that's how, like I said, that's how I communicated.
Any deep philosophical things?
Kinda. So I was in my, maybe like a year later, I don't know. I looked at the notes in my iPod Touch board. I never looked at the notes in an iPod Touch. Mm-hmm. I never used them. And I saw myself writing, and I was writing to myself. And I was like, why do you feel this way? You know, like I'm like writing to myself. And then I put, ha ha. And this is like all misspelled too, mm-hmm. right? I said, ha ha. Why are you talking like this? You're so gay.
You could criticize yourself for writing to yourself.
And that's all it said.
Quit writing yourself, bitch.
And I was like, what the fuck is this? And I looked at the date, and I was like, oh my God, that's funny.
You were probably on drugs out of a coma.
Yeah. So I was like so medicated.
You picked up your phone. I got a really deep thought. You start writing it. Yeah. And then your freaking sober thoughts come to you.
I don't remember anything with the coma, really.
Wow. So you started getting better and like what? You walked out of there in 8 months?
So the treatment regimen they had me on.
Your blood was getting better?
So like I said, like that first round of chemo, that first bag, it set me into cell lysis syndrome, but it killed every leukemic cell in my body.
Wow. Holy.
They would do weekly bone marrow biopsies. So what I was explaining earlier about mm-hmm. going into the pelvic bone and pulling out my bone marrow, they would do those weekly. While I'm taking 2 bags of chemo a day, it was like a morning and a night bag. And I would do that for 5 days, be off two, 5 days, be off two. And I did that like 7-8 times.
Whoa, that's a lot of...
Yeah. So anytime I had chemo, I had to be in the hospital. Like mm-hmm. I said, it was very aggressive.
Yeah.
So a lot of people can go home and take a pill form of chemo. But mine was IV. They ended up putting a double lumen catheter in under my skin.
Another hole.
Yeah, another hole.
Oh, my.
So this one actually looks like a stab wound.
Dude, that one's huge.
Yeah, they...
What did you call that? That's a tube. A port?
Yeah, no. This is actually a contact case under my skin. So, like, a two-barrel contact case left and right. Basically, they have... That's exactly what it looks like. And then a tube going up, and they connect it to an artery in your vein, in your neck. So, instead of having to put needles in me, like an IV, that would have to sit in there, they would just take this little needle, put it right in the center of the contact case. Mind you, it's under my skin, but it's only going through the skin. So, it doesn't really hurt at all. And that's how they give me the drug. And when they're done, they just pull it out.
So they stab you a billion times over and over again?
Yeah, billions. And they wouldn't stab me in the chest. They wouldn't stab me in the back. They were drawing blood off me somewhere. So.
Oh my gosh, you're like poked and prodded from every direction.
Yeah, needle pin.
Whoa.
Cushion pin, I mean.
Man.
So
you had a...
They did that. I remember I was in the hospital... They couldn't let me go home until I had good enough counts. Okay. So, like, your white blood cell count is your immune system, and those counts had to be good enough to where I could survive not in this bubble room. Because, like I said, like,
you can get sick and just die.
Yeah.
Because you have
super vulnerable.
Yeah.
That's scary.
So I didn't get to go home for like a month and a half. My first day, I stayed for an entire month and a half, and then I got to go home for basically a whole day. It was 2 days, but I left, stayed home a whole day, and then I had to come back the next. So I got to go home for 1 day, and then I was back for, I think, like another month.
Jeez.
So, yeah, I was definitely at the hospital way more than I was at home.
So many freaking years, or so many just days taken away.
But it wasn't bad. My nurses were awesome, dude.
You at least enjoy your time?
Then? Yeah, well, I didn't enjoy my time, but I made
you enjoy your stay?
I made the best out of it, dude. Like, my nurses were awesome. I don't think I'd be alive if it wasn't for those nurses. Like, they just gave me, they just gave me so much morale. Like, so much drive.
That's probably why you're such a good nurse now, man.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? You kind of do the same thing. You pass on
That's why I wanted to be a nurse.
Kindness, yeah?
Yeah, I was never going to go to nursing before this.
That's cool. That's really cool.
Yeah, I was getting like...
You just encountered some really good nurses that inspired you?
Yeah, and, well, plus I was just going to join the military after high school, because, like, I wasn't the best student.
But the cancer stopped you, didn't it?
Yeah, they won't take you if you have cancer.
Really?
I am a liability to them if I have cancer.
Wow, I feel like they'd want to put you on the front line. That's pretty...
He's expendable! Throw him in there!
All the chemo people on the front...
Biological warfare.
Oh boy.
But yeah, so I had to figure some shit out quick. Well, I mean, once I got better, obviously I'm here today, so I survived it.
Yeah.
I had to figure something out quick because I couldn't join the army.
Yeah, yeah.
Wasn't very good in school.
Yeah. Well, what do you know better than to, you know?
Yeah, it was like a call on the other side. It was like a call, and I wanted to give back to it because I don't think I'd be alive if it wasn't for those nurses. So if I can do that for a kid...
Yeah. Definitely. It seems like it is a calling, you know?
Yeah.
So you just started after the treatment, after the chemo and stuff, you just started getting better and getting healthier? And
yeah, so the chemo is rough. Chemo is very rough to go through. Like I was saying, 2 bags a day.
Yeah.
5 days on, 2 days off.
Man.
Makes you so sick. I couldn't eat anything. I was skin and bones, dude. I was... You threw up every single day.
Wow.
At least 2 or 3 times a day. It got to the point where throwing up didn't bother me anymore. I just got so used to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I bet you hate throwing up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like, it's the worst thing in the world. Like,
yeah, it's horrible.
Yeah, it's whatever. At least then it was.
Wow.
To the point where, like, I would put something on my tongue, start chewing it, and my body just didn't want anything to do with it, so I would just throw it up.
Mm. Sounds like a bad hangover.
It was horrible. Yeah, it was horrible. Threw up all the time. Lost all my hair, like I said. But I... Not fun with it, but...
You
I
lost all the your best. Hair?
Yeah, I was bald.
All your bald, hair dude. All your body?
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Eyebrows came off.
Damn, you have to shave your pubes?
I didn't have to. I was 15. But I was a little bit of a late bloomer, so at 15, they were just kind of coming in.
Wait, so you're saying, though, that, like... So you were, like, completely bald from head to toe, your hair?
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, no head hair, eyebrows came out. Still don't have any fucking facial hair, but
wow.
I don't think that's because of the poor genes. I don't have no leg hair.
Shit, that would have been key for swimming.
Yeah.
Would have been a little seal.
Yeah. But I remember when I was losing my hair, I ended up cutting off my hair because when it comes off in chunks. Like you take your fingers through it, you could have just like handfuls. But,
seriously?
Like, you don't have to pull it. It would just come right out. And it was looking really blotchy because it would be a little thicker in some areas.
Yeah, crackhead.
Yeah. I mean, I was sitting there eating a sandwich and some potato chips.
Tommy from Rugrats. Yeah.
Every time I eat, there'd be food all over, or hair all over my food. So I finally just shaved my head off.
Wow.
But I always brought candy to the nurses at the hospital. So I was at Walmart and there's like this... I don't know, there's this girl in the candy aisle, and I wanted to grab Jolly Ranchers, and she was, like, hovering right over there. So I was sitting there waiting for her, and she, like, turned around, gave me a dirty look. And she's kind of younger, and you definitely know she's going to be a bitch when she grows up, you know. Like, who the fuck is you? Like, don't look at me like that. She turned around again, like, I put my hand through my hair, and I pulled out a clump, and I was like, is this okay? And she looked, she was, like, probably 6. She looked at me and just started crying and ran away. And I was
oh
like,
oh my god.
I like grabbed those Jolly Ranchers, like, I gotta get out of here.
You freaked her out. You probably look like a crazy person.
Yeah, I told all my nurses. They all yelled at me about that. Yeah, it's funny. But yeah, after a while, I just started feeling better. I got to go home longer periods. It wouldn't just be 2 days. Like, I got to go home for a week here, maybe 2 weeks. That's awesome. But even when I was at home, I had have a home nurse. They came Monday and Wednesday.
Wow.
So I know Tuesday and Thursday, I had to go get blood transfusions. So they would come and draw labs.
Tuesday and Thursday, blood transfusions.
Yeah, so they didn't, well, you don't have any red blood or you don't have any white blood, so sit down, here's someone else's. They just pump me up and then I'd go home.
Do you have like a blood donor? Like some dude that you
go
to regular?
No.
On Tuesdays and Thursdays, he'd give you his blood?
Hey, dude, this is just way cheaper.
Yeah.
Look us up.
Patient a blood dealer.
A blood dealer.
Well, found him on Craigslist. He's a nice guy.
He said minimal diseases.
Yeah, minimum hepatitis.
But yeah, I get blood transfusions all the time.
Wow, so you were getting healthy again. Yeah. Back to normal, huh?
So then I started getting stupid. As I was getting healthy, I had more energy. I was fighting, at this point, 16 years old.
Oh, you were a bad patient, huh?
Yeah, dude. I would go home. It was in the middle of the summer, because it was a few months down the line. I remember I had a bruise covering my whole thigh, because I was at a graduation party, and my buddy was driving away in his car, so he jumped in through the window. And I had to go to the hospital like 2 days later for my like regular appointment, like chemo. I was gonna be there for a few days, and they saw my bruise and they're like, "What was that? Like, what is that about?" And I was like, "Oh, I jumped into the window of a moving car." And they're like, "What the fuck? Why did you do that?" And I was like, "He was driving away, and I had to get in."
They had to like write that on the report.
They're like, "You realize you have no blood, right? Like, you're borrowing someone else's blood, and you're just destroying it."
No blood.
And
you're on borrowed blood. Dude, take it easy. You freaking cut yourself. That's money. You're
if I cut myself, I could bleed out.
You're probably losing like $1,000 a cut.
Yeah, because if you bled, you didn't have any platelets. I'd have to go and get platelets.
Blood thinner, too?
No, I wasn't on blood thinners, but I didn't have any platelets, and platelets is what clots your blood.
So it's like a blood thinner.
It's what stops you from bleeding. It is kind of what makes, like...
Scabs.
Exactly. Oh. It's like the starting point of the scabs that stops bleeding.
Just like a
so I literally would just... I wouldn't be able to stop bleeding.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's sketchy.
Yeah.
So you're jumping into cars, you dummy? Yeah. Oh, my God.
I remember my buddy was going tubing in Lake Shelbyville, and he's like, "Hey, you want to go tubing?" And I was like, yeah, I do. Tubing's fucking fun.
Tubing?
But it, yeah.
Don't say you went to Cedar Lake.
No, Lake Shelbyville. It's in Illinois. It's cleaner. Okay. But like I said, I had this port in my chest, and I had a tube I had to go home on that I give meds to, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can't go swimming with that. That's like a direct line right into an artery.
Yeah, it sounds like freaking
door. But tubing sounds fucking fun when you're 16 and it's a summer, dude. Right? So I took that bitch out.
It's like
a
butthole to your jugular.
Yeah, so
it's like so close to your heart.
It literally goes to your artery, yeah.
Dude.
So I took that out. I was like, I need to go tubing and I can't have this. So I just, I had more downstairs. I'm not supposed to. But yeah, I took that out. I went tubing.
You're not supposed to. You put like tape over it or something?
No, it's just your skin.
Did you like?
Okay. Remember, it goes underneath your skin.
Did you cover it though with something like a band-aid when you went swimming?
I mean, for a few minutes while it was just it bleeds for like maybe a half a second and that's it.
So it was an open wound.
No, well, it was like
it was bleeding.
The lake was an hour away.
It was an open wound.
Yeah. I shouldn't have done it. Well, you're also not supposed to go out in the sun when you have chemo because your skin is very fair. You're fair-skinned and you don't want to get a burn.
Were you bald at the time, too?
Yeah, fucking cue ball of shit.
Did you have any
eyebrows? I got some pictures.
Either?
No, I got some pictures.
Dude!
If we want, we can put them up on... You can...
Yeah.
I got some pictures.
For people who are listening, we'll put them up.
Yeah, fucking cue ball. I never knew I had a mole on the side of my head until I went bald.
Really?
Yeah.
It's an ugly thing. The things you find out when you go bald, I got a birthmark on the back of my head that looks like I was plugged into the Matrix. Like, it looks like I got shot in the back of the head. It's disgusting, dude.
Dang, you're like Neo.
It's gross. I have to freaking do something about it. Get a tattoo.
just get a tattoo of the same thing, but bigger.
Same thing with Bigger.
But yeah, we went tubing. I went to the hospital because I think I had chemo coming up.
Your normal visit?
Yeah, normal visit. And I had sunburn on my nose. I put sunscreen on, but like...
Evidence.
I was golden brown.
Yeah, damn. Your head had some color.
Yeah, no, I was gold, dude, because I went in white, I came out like I was Greek, dude, like a Greek in the middle of the summer. That's how I looked. Because your skin is just so sensitive to it that,
wow.
Really? And then I had like a burn on the top of my head and on my nose. And they walked in and they're like, "What the fuck have you been doing?" I was like, "Well, I went tubing last week." "You went tubing?" Uh-huh. And they started yelling at me, dude. Like, "You're not supposed to be doing that." Like, I was a bad patient.
Yeah,
I
bet.
Well, like I said, I had that tube in my chest. And they were like, "Well, what did you do? You were accessed. Don't tell me you went accessed." That's what it's called when they just say you're accessed. And I was like, no, I'm not stupid. I took it out. And they're like, "Well, how did it get back in?" I was like, "I put a new one back in." Well, that was bad, because you're supposed to, like, sterilize the skin before you put, because it goes straight to the artery, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't do that. I just, like, popped that bitch
right out of the lake, you just...
Yeah, I mean, I was dry, but yeah.
Oh.
I went septic.
What does that even mean?
So my body went into shock because I got so sick that I couldn't handle it anymore.
What?
Yep, so I was getting like 106, 107 fevers. They had to do like an emergency surgery to pull the line out.
107 fever.
Yeah. Like every time it came in, I was like I said, I was goofy. I made a joke out of everything.
Yeah.
So I was like, "Let's see how high it is now." They're like, "New record." And I'm like, they're like, "That's not fucking funny."
Like, dude, this is serious. You're joking around about it?
Infectious disease came. They tried me on a bunch of different meds. I'm allergic to an antibiotic. That's like a really strong antibiotic.
So this infection is getting worse and worse?
Yeah, so they had before I went into another coma, they had to pull that line out.
Another coma?
Yeah, they couldn't kill the disease. They figured it had to be in the line. It was infected.
Yeah.
So they did surgery and they pulled it out.
That thing in your chest.
Yeah.
And that was the freaking culprit?
Well, that's where the bug was, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So, I went into septic shock.
Dude, that's crazy. I had cell lysis
syndrome, yeah.
Wow.
So, I was pretty fucked up for a while.
So, how did you beat the septic? They just, eventually, the antibiotics worked?
They took the port out.
Uh-huh.
That got rid of the bacteria and then antibiotics.
And just both of those combined?
Yep, it worked.
Wow. And then you just started... And the cancer by this time was, you're on remission, or, what's it called?
Remission. Yeah. At this point, I don't remember. I don't remember where this, lied in the summer, but, I might have been in remission. But even when you're in remission.
But you were basically, done with it, right? With cancer by that time?
I was still going in and getting chemo. Yeah, I had that poured in because I was getting chemo. I went to the doctor. They found out I was septic because I was getting rounds of chemo.
So...
that's why I was there again.
How the hell did you live? How did you beat all this? Yeah. How are you living and talking to me? I don't understand how, they got all the leukemia gone and all the bacteria gone.
Well, the cool thing is I'm the lead study in that protocol from St. Jude.
Really,
so that one that all they, of this,
people from Tennessee?
Yeah, all of this was still doing the same plan that St. Jude gave us. And like I said, they were having results off of it, but they were like, "This is your last bet. We can't promise anything." And now I'm published.
It's like
my entire story is published. It is the leading study, the leading trial in this study to cure leukemia.
Whoa. That's cool, man.
Yeah.
Hopefully the lake water isn't in that study.
Hopefully they kept out some of that embarrassing stuff.
Yeah. Wow, so for people who want to know the full story.
Patient, that's all they put. Another non-compliant event.
So people want to know the full story. This is it.
Yeah, here it is.
Wow.
He has published in, medical journals and stuff like that.
That's crazy. So you had a good, like, stable recovery, steady recovery?
Yeah, I had complications. I ended up getting shingles while I was sick, too.
Shit.
That's, like, the...
Shingles?
Yeah, that's, like, the boss of chicken pox, dude.
Oh, my God.
That's another form of chicken pox, but it's a disease that, like...
You couldn't catch a break.
It fucking hurts, dude. I don't even know how to explain it. Your, like, pain receptors, your neurons are, like, in, like, they're flaring up. So, like... The lightest touch, I have scars here. Ended up crossing my spine, which it usually doesn't do.
You would get, like...
huge, like, raised bumps. Like, first of all, they just look like... Oh. You ever lay on your part of your arm too much, you just get bumps right here or something like that. That's kind of what it looked like, but they're getting bigger. And,
Everywhere you touch, you, like, your skin was that sensitive?
Once we found out what it was, like, because I started noticing the bumps, but I didn't really feel anything. I remember I called my doctor, Dr. Sue... And I had his cell phone number. Dude, he was the man. And I was like, hey, Dr. Sue. It went to voicemail. I was like, hey, Dr. Sue, this is Brandon. I think I have shingles. I just wanted to let you know. I'm not sure. That's what it looks like, though. And it was, like, later at night. He ended up calling my mom, like, maybe an hour or two later because he heard the voicemail. Like, I think we were sleeping. And he was like, does Brandon have shingles? Like, blah, blah, blah. And mom was like, I don't know. We think so. Get him to the hospital now. So... They, like, brought me to the hospital. I was in the hospital for a week with that.
Oh, my God. This was after the cancer now?
Yeah, now this is after the cancer. I'm doing better. But you get shingles because I had a compromised immune system.
So how long did you have shingles?
I was in the hospital for a week. I don't think they
wanted... Is it contagious, too?
It's so contagious.
Really?
Yeah. When I found out, I was at my buddy's house that night. And I had to call him, and I was like, hey, have you had the chicken pox? Because... If you had the chicken pox...
You won't have shingles?
Yeah. Well, if you don't have the chicken pox, you can't have shingles. Because you get chicken pox, and that virus gets, like, basically stored in your system. And once you get really sick, get old, your immune system's compromised, it comes out again. So it's if like, you...
Comes back
yeah,
at
Yeah, it's the boss.
I'm back. Oh, man.
Yeah, so... That was, like, a week.
Just a week?
And then I couldn't see anyone for a week after that. I had to stay at home.
Not too bad.
Yeah, that was
compared to the cancer. Yeah, walk in the park.
Shingles. Up.
Yeah, dude.
It was horrible. No, it kind of sucked. Actually, it hurt really bad.
So after that, tell me you started getting better.
Yeah. It was kind of like uphill from there. I had to see my doctor. They told me I was cured.
Wow.
How
much of relief was that?
85% relief, I give it.
Really? Why?
Because leukemia is funny.
It's still
coming Well, you back. Have to be... Once you're in remission for any cancer, you have to be in remission for 5 years. So you can't have any cancer cells in your body for 5 years. At that 5-year mark, you're considered cured. 5 years of remission, you're cured.
Hmm.
Leukemia, it's a chromosomal mutation. So that stays with you. It might... come back in 10 years.
No way. It doesn't have an expiration?
No. I mean, the odds of it happening increasingly get small as the time passes, but the odds of it happening are higher than other cancers.
Hmm.
So.
How long has it been now? What, 6-7 years?
Diagnosed April 18th, 2011. So this is going to be seven years.
Shit. Yeah.
Coming on 7 years.
You Gucci. You're fine. You ain't getting that again.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, though, man. That's crazy.
Yeah.
What a crazy story. I think one of the major things that helped you push through, clearly medicines and stuff helped, of course, but is your positive attitude you had in the whole thing.
Like, yeah, dude.
It seems like you were, like, joking around about it, and you had really good nurses to help you through it.
Yeah.
It seems like if you were... If you let yourself go and just fall in depression and just giving up and feel like there's no hope left, I feel like that would have been... It's almost like the fact that it happened so quickly and the fact that you didn't even kind of... couldn't even understand it at that age either. Like, I felt like that had a small part of, like, you know, keeping your attitude positive and keeping your body healthy, you know?
It definitely did.
Yeah.
I remember initially I was making jokes left and right. My dad smoking. Oh, I smoke in front of the cancer kid. Smart thinking, Dad. You know, oh, you're not going to have kids. I was like, the doctor told me I can't have kids. I was like, oh, you want me to jerk off in a cup? What? You know, I was just making jokes. Yeah. Because I didn't believe it. Like, I knew it was real, but I just didn't accept it. So I was definitely denying it. And then when I went into cell lysis syndrome, I remember that was the worst night out of this entire series of my life, this entire portion. That was the worst night ever. My legs were like convulsing. I was like going into shock. I don't know, I was doing a lot, you know. I remember I couldn't calm down. I was shaking, like...
You were almost, like, seizing out, but you were conscious?
Exactly. That's how I remember it. I was basically seizing out, and I was conscious during it.
Wow.
I just wanted to go to sleep. They gave me sleeping meds. They gave me Benadryl to try to get me to go to sleep, but my body, like, my brain wasn't letting me, so my body was freaking out. And up until this point, like I said, this is cell lysis, once I got that, I never cried. I never, like, really believed it. That night, my mom was trying to get me to calm down. She's like, breathe, breathe. She's like trying to hold my legs down. And I remember I looked at her, I was like, I don't want to die. Mom, wow. I'm not ready to die. And I cried, and like, that was my lowest point and my highest point. You know what I mean?
That's what kind of made you realize you want to beat it?
I finally accepted it. I finally realized that it was real. I finally realized I was really fucked, and I finally realized I wasn't accepting that. I'm not gonna die from this. I'm not ready to die, and I make...
And you just told yourself that in your heart.
Yeah. And then I went into the coma, and then we know where it went from there.
Wow.
I just slowly and surely got better.
Went to hell and back in that coma.
Yeah.
Went to the brink of the edge of death and came back.
Yeah.
That's crazy, man. That is absolutely crazy that, like...
And I definitely, like you said, I definitely think it was my confidence, my cockiness, my drive. I think if I would have been depressed and felt bad about myself and sat there and said, God, why did you give this to me? I don't deserve this.
It would have consumed you.
I don't think I would have made it. But I had those nurses that kept me in high spirit. I was always making jokes.
Wow. What did you learn about, like, this near-death experience at such a young age?
A lot. You got your whole life ahead of you. It shaped my life completely. Dude, I was a dick in high school. I was an asshole. I realized, like, there's no need for that. Who am I trying to be cool for? You know? Definitely be my own person. I am who I am. So be it.
The direction you were heading was just completely different.
Yeah. And like I said, turned my life around. I wasn't going to college. I was partying up in high school. This happened. I just kind of set a path and I dove right in for it. This whole thing taught me that, like, doctors only know so much. And all they can tell you is statistics.
Yeah.
They can't tell you anything about you. Mm-hmm. They can tell you about what has happened before. Well, before me, this has never happened. Before me, no one got that sick off and used this trial and got better. So
now you're the new thing that the doctors have to say. It's been done. Mm-hmm. You can pull through and tell people that.
Exactly.
Instead of saying that, you know, it hasn't been done.
The doctors have their statistics.
Wow.
They're going to tell you. They told my mom I was going to die. They told 75% chance. Like, they were throwing numbers around. Those numbers are just statistics. And I am not a statistic. You know? That's
interesting, man.
You are your own person. You can't fall into statistics. If you start believing that, you already gave up.
Like, the concept of diagnosing is sometimes dangerous, you know. I think it sometimes can make the problem more real than what it is, almost by giving attention to it, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, the more, like, you have an injury and you focus on it, the more it starts hurting you. Like, eventually your body learns to block it out and, mm-hmm. and to you know, manage that pain and to dull. I just feel like
your mind is so powerful,
mm-hmm.
that if you have a broken leg, you can sit there and think about it and think how hurt it is, and it's just going to keep hurting. But you can trick your mind into not being in pain.
Yeah.
I feel like I can.
Yeah. It's like, how many people are sleeping and like oversleeping, right, too much, and it's getting excessive to the point where it could be cancer forming in their blood cells, right? Maybe their body actually fights it, and the cancer goes away before it escalates even to anything bad.
Yeah, that happens all the time. That's your immune system.
Right, exactly. So, like, all the time our bodies are killing cancer cells and irregular cells. They cycle them out, right? It's the ones that end up duplicating and replicating that become bad and dangerous, which is cancer.
Mm.
It's just crazy to think...
Like, you're saying, like, diagnosis can speak something into existence?
Sometimes. I feel like it almost makes it more real, you know? I really do think that your behavior and your attitude... You know, and everything, your environment, your influences, all of it combined helped you pull through, you know?
Yeah, me too.
That was a crazy story. I can't believe it.
Yeah, and actually I have this tattoo on my arm that's like kind of a symbolism of that.
Of your journey?
Yeah, so...
what does it mean?
I have this skull and a rose, and the skull's taking a pebble off the rose. We can post pictures of this one too. Mm-hmm. The skull symbolizes death, the rose symbolizes life. And the clock is just the time in between. The
That's cool.
wording says, "Together we stand, divided we fall," which is like Pink Floyd lyrics and like a slogan. I was a big Floyd head. And then the background is a brick wall. So each brick is supposed to be like a support system, like family, friends, nurses, like everyone that helped me
That's cool.
through my battle between life and death. And together we stand, divided we fall. Without a brick and a wall, the whole wall would fall down. So I needed every single one of those bricks to stand up.
That's awesome.
So I 100% believe that my support system and my positivity is...
I could tell it changed you too. Just like you give off a different vibe than you used to, you know? Like you're a family man now. You got a fucking... You got two kids.
Grow up quick.
You know? Yeah, I mean, you really did. You really grew up very quick compared to everyone else at our age and our level, you know.
Yeah.
You're very mature, and it probably had to do with, you know, knocking on death's door.
You realize, you realize a lot through life.
Yeah.
And you go down the path that you want to go down and the path that you let yourself go down. I'm not saying that I haven't fallen off of the path. I'm not saying that I'm a saint, not saying anything like that, but before I do anything, I definitely... reconsider what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I bet.
Everyday life's it's a blessing. It's a privilege to be alive, and you don't understand that until that privilege is
almost getting taken from you,
stripped out of your hand.
Yeah, wow. That's some inspirational shit, man.
Yeah,
it's really inspirational shit. I hope everyone gets something out of this, you know. And people who are struggling, what would you say to people who are fighting cancer right now, who are battling?
Number one thing I always say is, doctors can only give you statistics. I'm in the medical field. I believe in everything they're doing. I'm not saying that my positivity cured cancer. The doctors did, but that positivity was the fuel for the fire. And getting caught up in the numbers, if I would have let myself believe that, wow, not many people make it, how can I? I wouldn't have. So... always in life, you have to keep a positive outlook. It doesn't matter how bad things are getting. You can't let that consume you. Because you're alive.
Yeah. That's some good advice. Some very sound advice, man.
Yeah.
I hope everyone enjoyed this podcast. And I really enjoyed it myself, man. I really thank you for coming out here and telling me that.
Yeah.
Sharing this story with me.
Yeah, I'm a very open person. I'll tell the story to anyone that wants to listen or... I've spoken at a lot of different benefits, but I think this That's is cool. the most detailed story and the first time that I've ever recorded a timeline of everything that's really happened.
Hmm.
So I'm it's cool privileged to be able to do this and especially do it on this channel.
Yeah, I'm glad we actually have it now on record, you know, so for people who, like you said, who are struggling with thinking about the statistics and the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a really good idea what you said about
just getting down. You see, especially, I mean, I work with kids, my passion's with kids. I see kids often that they'll get a diagnosis and very depressed by it. Depression is a huge issue. Mm-hmm. But
depression can make your immune system weaker.
Depression, you know? Could kill you.
Yeah, it really can.
Yeah.
It.
And if you let yourself slide into that, you're...
Which is probably so easy.
Yeah.
When you're in that state.
You got to stay strong.
Yeah.
All right, well, we're running short on time here. I think we'll wrap it up, but I appreciate you coming out, dude. We should definitely do more.
Yeah, I enjoyed being on and enjoyed telling my story.
Yeah, man. You got any more crazy stories for me to hear about?
I think we can get a few more up.
Cool. All right, guys. Well, then look forward to more with Brandon coming up in the future here. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and have a good one.
Thanks, guys.